Good morning, you're listening to The Weekend Edition. Barry White is sitting in for Greg Hughes today. Coming up, we're going to go through the newspapers. I'm going to have Catherine Gaffney from our newsroom helping me go along with them. We'll also be going to Lee Gooch, who is down in Letterkenny today with some live links. We'll have Chef Gary O'Hanlon. He's the head chef from the Viewmont House. You may know him from TV3's The Restaurant and Late Lunch Live. He's going to be giving us some cooking tips for Valentine's Day. Also coming up on the show, we have Jason McGroarty. He's a Donegal photographer. He's going to talk about us about his cat Hummus, who was born in 2007, and his cat had leukemia, and he came up with an extremely strange idea, but a good one. Also on the show, we'll have Aoife McCarry from Garda Hark, who is generously cutting her hair, all in the name of charity called the Rapunzel Foundation. She's going to be giving all the money from that charity to the Irish Cancer Foundation. We'll also have Nisha Kavanagh from the communications manager with ReachOut.com. She's going to talk to us about the selfie culture. But first, we're going to have a look at the newspapers. I'm going to have a look at the Irish Daily Star first. The front of the Star today, bear rage shock, an airstrip shocker. A drunk man caused a major mid-air rage on a Dublin-bound Ryanair flight when he stripped off and punched the plane's walls. Passengers on the flight from Riga in Latvia were subdued by the topless man. He was then arrested. Also in the Star, on page 2, unions veto exam plans. That's more talks in the junior cert cycle are going to be needed. We thought that they came to an agreement yesterday, but teachers' trade unions have rejected the draft proposals, which were aimed at resolving the row over reforming the junior cycle. But it's said now there may be more talks, and it could lead to more industrial action. Already there has been 2 teachers' strikes, and there may be more next month. The Association of Secondary Teachers Ireland and the Teachers' Union of Ireland have said a meeting in Dublin yesterday that they want a substantial negotiation of the proposals before any agreement is reached. Also in the Daily Star, we'll just go through more on that story about the air rage story. A Ryanair flight had to be forced to make an emergency landing after the drunk passenger stripped off his shirt and began punching the walls of the aircraft. Three of passengers on the flight which departed to go to Riga were left stunned by what they've seen. Now, also in the Daily Star, this story about Amanda Holden. She posted on Twitter yesterday suggesting that her daughter, who was dressed as Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, she said now that it was a mistake. The story behind this is that her daughter was going to a fancy dress at school. She was dressed up as Pretty Woman, who of course was a prostitute, and there's been uproar about that, a serious backlash against Amanda Holden on Twitter. People saying that she's a bad parent and she shouldn't have done what she had done. I actually had seen Piers Morgan had tweeted last night saying Amanda Holden is actually a great parent and that she should leave her alone. I have Catherine Gaffney here with me. Catherine, from a female perspective, should a parent be sending their daughter to school dressed as Pretty Woman?
I don't think so, Barry. Now, in fairness, the way she's dressed up is from the scene. I'm sure most women out there can relate to the film or have seen the film. It's the scene where she's in the red dress. So she's not actually in the high over-the-knee boots and a little skirt or whatever. But in saying that, it is quite inappropriate the way she's dressed.
I think she's saying that her husband, so the young girl's father, dressed her like that and just thought that she looks like Julia Roberts. Took an innocent picture, what he thought was an innocent picture, and then tweeted it. And then there was the backlash, loads of abuse on Twitter.
Of course, Twitter went mad. I don't know, I think a fancy dress party for school, I mean, you should just dress up as, I don't know, a witch or something a bit more sensible than this. I mean, it's just very, she just looks twice her age, even though, you know, she's only a child.
But doesn't make you a bad parent, does it?
It doesn't make you a bad parent. I mean, everyone makes mistakes, but
I think posting it on Twitter is the once you post anything on Twitter, you're just opening
up the doors for backlash, aren't you, I suppose?
Yeah, other stories I'm just looking at. A thug who bit into a man's face in a Hannibal Lecter style attack has been jailed for 2 years. Stephen Fox bit so hard into the face of his victim that he left a hole in his cheek. Details of this horrific attack were given at Letterkenny Circuit Court yesterday. 25-year-old Fox, who's a chef, admitted to the horrific attack on Kelvin McLaughlin at a party in April 2012. Those details are in the Daily Star from Stephen Maguire, of course, from Donegal Daily. Calls for RTE pay freeze to continue for staff. RTE bosses have told staff that the station is back in the black thanks to shows like Love Hate, but they ruled out that a U-turn on swinging pay cuts. What do you think, RTE? Are they paid too much?
Well, I don't know, Barry. I suppose maybe certain people are up
in. I think it'll be interesting. I think they said it'll be next year, or maybe is it 2 years before Ray Darcy's salary comes out?
Yes, that'll be very interesting to see.
I'm sure he didn't take a pay cut when he left the AFM.
Well, apparently he did, but we'll have to wait and see.
Jamie set to flee the country. Also in the Daily Star, of course, they're talking about Jamie Dornan. He says, I've actually seen this in Graham Norton last night. He revealed plans that he's going to leave the UK for the weekend just to get away from the hype surrounding that film, this house, 50 Shades of Grey.
Don't pretend that you don't know what film it is.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't, but it is on my agenda to go see, strictly for work purposes now, of course.
You wouldn't go otherwise?
Of course not.
I noticed my Facebook last night, there was loads of, it was groups of girls, groups of 7, 8 females going to see this. So this is just going to be, it's going to be it's a film for the ladies. There's no,
of course,
will couples be going to see it?
I don't know, but I would certainly, I don't know.
I certainly won't be going.
I would certainly not go with my mother or somebody like that, but I would go with maybe some girlfriends, yes.
How many? I don't know.
I don't know. I'll have to go see it anyway before the weekend's out. Just out of curiosity. I have read the books, and I am out of just, work-related purposes, and curiosity is killing me to see if it's anyway like the book.
Actually, I was watching Graham Norton last night, and they says, who has read the books? And it was all females, and one guy put up his hand and they asked him, what did he think? And he said he thought it was sh. So although he says they thought they were sh.
Well,
so he's obviously read more
I've
than
been
one of them.
I've been reading up reviews about it so far, and there have been a lot of mixed reports. Now, in saying that, no matter how bad a review the film's going to get, it will still attract the female audience regardless.
And what I know you can't really second guess it, but do you think it's going to be, is it going to be smutty, or is it going to be a good film? I don't, from the trailers I've seen, it looks, they showed a clip last night when they're in this hardware store, and it just looks really cringy to me.
Well, from what I've seen, it looks quite bland, but in saying that, I cannot judge until I've seen it for myself.
Moving on, Rockstar title on the line, Codeline, Golden Boys of Sport. They're on course for a number one. Is this their new album or their new single?
Must be.
New album, yeah. I know one of their new songs is pretty good.
Yeah, I actually am a big enough fan of Codeline there.
We'll go on.
Pretty good. I've got the Irish Daily Mirror here in front of me. Abused, beaten and bullied. It's an exclusive by Alva Jordan. Kids have been sexually abused, assaulted and bullied in state care. An Irish Mirror probe reveals today. A shocking dossier of complaints has emerged surrounding foster home and residential centres. Fianna Fáil's children's spokesperson Robert Troy said any failure by the HSE to properly investigate should be viewed as a declaration of duty. And the full story in the Daily Mirror continues on page 4 and 5.
Anything else in the tabloids?
In the tabloids, well, Courtney Cox has actually been pictured crying.
I think, I read that. She's married to your guy from Snow Patrol from Derry. I think his father passed away.
Yeah. A distressed Courtney Cox breaks down in tears as she speaks with Foy Vance. The Friend star, who is engaged to Snow Patrol's Johnny McDade, was spotted chatting to the Irish singer-songwriter in California. The pair chatted for an hour as Courtney wiped away tears. Johnny and Foy have been friends for years and share a special relationship after the Snow Patrol guitarist's dad passed away. Foy had written a song called Guiding Light about his passing and had such an impact on Johnny, he got the lyrics tattooed on his arm in Irish.
I'm just looking at a story here in, what paper, The Sun. A Garda tweet sparking a sexism storm. You can see the picture. I'm sure a lot of people who's on social media would have seen this. There's a car went over a barrier. And the Gardaí then tweeted, man or a woman?
They did. But it turned out to be a man.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
And it kind of moves on to this other story. I think this is in the Daily Mail. women less likely to pass their driving test.
This has upset me greatly.
Women fail their driving test more than men because they're more courteous than their male counterparts, a motoring school manager suggested. Statistics from the Road Safety Authority show that men across the country are more likely to pass their driving test than women are.
Because they're less mannerly.
So they're saying. No, because they're more courteous. So.
Oh, because they're... Right, okay.
It's a strange reason. You're doing your driving test then, aren't you?
I am. I'll not say when, but
it's
I am.
It's a huge vote of confidence for you that more women are more less likely to pass their test.
I really, really hope that I don't fall into that statistic. I can only hope and pray.
I'm sure you'll pass.
You have high hopes for me anyway, Barry.
Also in the papers, Fly Ryan Bear is the... I suppose appropriate titles for this boozed up punter as well, as was also in the Daily Star. What else have we got? Happy birthday, YouTube. It's YouTube's birthday.
What was it?
It has brought us skateboarding, dogs, talking cats, Zola and the Gangnam Style video. I think that's the most watched video ever. Let me see. 38 million have watched a cat playing a keyboard, which was uploaded in 2007. 127 million have watched a young kid called David after he went to the dentist. It's a video showing the 7-year-old talking nonsense after having his tooth taken out. I suppose there's that one too, Charlie.
Oh,
the
yeah,
young
of
baby
course.
Who got his
Charlie bit my finger.
Many people's watched that on YouTube, would you say?
Oh, God, I don't know.
It's 2007. It shows the 1-year-old Charlie biting the finger of his 3-year-old brother. So it's been on YouTube for quite a while now, 8 years.
Yeah.
But how many views?
Oh, I couldn't possibly guess. What is
810 million views.
What?
That's a lot, isn't
That's
it?
A lot. And I think I've only watched that once, maybe. I remember when it first came out, it was, I think...
Australians are probably so famous now as well. I think I've seen...
They're definitely probably
I've
a lot older as well.
On some show, was it The Last Leg? Or they would have appeared in something. They're now a lot older. I think Charlie's 8 and his brother's 15 or something like that. But
yeah.
810 million people seeing you doing that. Oh, you are famous.
What else features there?
Gangnam Style, most viewed music video of all time. Most viewed YouTube video of all time.
Oh God.
2.2 billion.
I can safely say I've possibly not even watched it once. Maybe halfway through and stopped.
No, I've watched it. It's a good video. I'm sure there's loads of people who've watched it and tried to copy the dance. I know Paddy Fruz from The Breakfast Show was on before us.
Yeah.
I've seen him drunk a few times trying to do the Gangnam Style.
Yeah, I've actually witnessed
dance.
That myself.
Anything else in the papers?
Just having a little trawl through. Student rampage. Boozed up students ended up spending the night in cells after a college event descended into chaos. On a city street, dozens of officers moved in and tried to control hundreds of drink-fueled revelers who had been partying from the early afternoon. The large group refused to disperse, and it's understood flares were set off during the event organised for Rag Week. Officers made a number of arrests on John Street and Waterford after the nightclubs emptied and students flooded the area. Rag Week's always... a bit hectic, isn't it? No matter where it is, what part of the country
well,
it is.
Well, I'm from the north and I went to university in England, so I don't really even know what Rag Week is.
Do you not?
No.
Well,
what is it like? It's Freshers Week, is it?
No, Rag Week is meant to be, it stands for Raise and Give. It's actually like a charity week, but it's
right.
Turned into this kind of party week where students take the week off
and go
crazy
beer.
All week.
Binge drinking again.
Yeah.
And so what's the other, you've Rag Week and you've got...
There's loads of things during a college year, but Rag Week is the main one that kind of always seems to make headlines in terms of chaos all around the country.
And what was the one was in Letterkenny a few weeks ago?
That was Rag Week.
That was Rag Week as well.
Wasn't it?
I think they were starting off in a bar at 12 and then the DJs throughout the day and then they were moving on to other bars, but it was like a drinking session from 12 during the day until maybe 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, like when I was in college in Galway, Rag Week was actually officially cancelled by the university because it was just too crazy and they wouldn't support it any longer. Now, it did continue on unofficially. Students organised different events and Donegal Tuesday is a big thing down in Galway, as I'm sure you've heard
of
before.
Yeah, I've heard of that before, yeah.
But it never goes without a hitch anyway, put it like
I know
that.
When I was at university, there was a thing called Carnage. It was called.
It got
banned as well because it just encouraged binge drinking so much. I remember going on it one time and you just seen people lying about, throwing up, ambulances lifting people. It wasn't a good...
wasn't a good time for all involved, I would say.
Advertisement. Also in the Sun here, this Kevin Moore and the story that was covered extensively with Greg on the Sean Doherty show yesterday and also extensively covered in our news. Top doctor Kevin Moore forced to leave the post. He is to leave his post next month, as we heard yesterday, after claiming he no longer has the resources to take care of his patients. We did hear Sean Murphy on with Greg. He says that as far as he's concerned, it's a retirement, it's not a resignation. But Kevin Moran says that he took the decision to resign as he didn't have the resources to take care of his patients anymore and he doesn't have access to beds. Two different stories. Sean Murphy saying this is not the case. He's saying that staff are upset by the doctor's claims. There's two sides to the story. I suppose Kevin Moran, we've heard him speak to Donegal News, we've heard Sean Murphy speak. People can choose who... could they believe or not regarding that? Anything else in the papers?
The Irish Daily Mail is heading with children being expelled for having autism. Article by Kevin Kane. Autistic children are being suspended and in some cases expelled from their schools because teachers can't cope with their disruptive behaviour, according to Irish Autism Action. The charity is assisting seven separate families who are being forced to homeschool the children because they cannot find a place in a mainstream school. Now, the youngest of these children is just 6 years old, with one child receiving help from a charity, has not attended class since September 2014, and school principals have outlined to, it's continued on page four, they've outlined the Daily Mail how teachers can struggle to deal with the children on the severe end of autism, of the autism spectrum, who disrupt classes and prevent other pupils from learning.
Just read some text messages coming in. 50 Shades of Grey, it's not an intellectual movie. It's going to be garbage.
Did we say it was an intellectual movie? I don't think we did.
No, it's just, they're not saying we did say it, but that's all someone's right. opinion. Someone regarding the Amanda Holden, for God's sake, leave the woman alone. It was a fancy dress. People should calm down. There's a lot worse happening in the world than what Amanda Holden's daughter is wearing. I have to somewhat agree with that. There's also a lot of text messages coming in. Happy Valentine's Day to my wife, Noreen Cairns, in Convoy. That's from your husband, Marty. Also for Kayleigh Hart on her confirmation in St. Eunan's Cathedral today. Best wishes from Granny Eileen and Granda Josie and Auntie Bernice in Ard O'Donnell. Happy Valentine's Day to my wonderful husband, Hugh Freel. Lots of love from Christine and wee Hugh. And best wishes to Yvonne Gallagher and Kieran Hart, who are getting married today, from all the staff of Bishop Shanahan National School in Temple Loog. It is Valentine's Day today.
I forgot.
You forgot. How did you forget? You didn't.
I temporarily forgot.
You've been talking about it all week. You were out doing Vox Pops about it. How could you forget?
I just temporarily forgot there until you started reading out those requests.
How many cars did you get?
Oh, loads. I'm inundated.
Did you really?
No, I didn't get one.
Do you think that's... what's the blame for that? The recession? Economic downturn?
Or maybe just nobody likes me.
Oh, no, everybody likes you here in Highlandshire. I would say probably... I'm surprised we haven't had a politician come on before and say, oh, there's a down... no more sales of Valentine's cards because of the economic downturn.
I don't know. I think it's a bit... it has become a bit commercialised, hasn't it? A little bit. Valentine's Day.
Going through the rest of the papers, Independent. We'll move swiftly
onwards.
Independent. Leaving Cert students are avoiding hard questions. Students sitting the Leaving Cert economics exam are able to avoid answering more challenging questions because of the way the paper is structured. It means that students do not have to cover the entire curriculum in order to complete the paper. Candidates generally tend to focus on questions where they have been able to prepare answers in advance, according to a new review. I don't really get that. Is that not the whole purpose of an exam anyway? You know what's coming up and you revise for that and then...
not necessarily. I mean, well, economics goes way over my head anyway because it would not be my forte in any way. But certainly, I don't know, you kind of study... Leaving Cert's always based on, you know, you kind of go through past papers, you focus on what you think might come up and hope for the best, usually, and then study a few backups. But
I suppose you revise a certain amount of things and then... if one out of 10 can come up with
I remember, you know, the year I did my Leaving Cert, and I did that. I didn't even take a gamble. It was just like I studied all these different things, and on the day for a certain subject and on D-Day, it didn't, nothing came up at all that I knew. So I just had to really kind of waffle my way through, shall we say.
And we have waffled our way through the papers. Welcome back to the Weekend Edition. We're going to go down to the shopping centre in Letterkenny now. Lee Gooch is down there. Lee, good morning.
Good morning. Love is in the air. Do you know how you were saying that you both and Catherine said not much love up there in the studio at the minute? Well, let me tell you, in the Letterkenny Shopping Centre today, we're full of the L-O-V-E. It's to celebrate Valentine's Day in Letterkenny Shopping Centre, and Loch Ness Castle have teamed up to give five lucky couples the five-star treatment. You have to pop down to the centre to see the five-star treatment they're going to get. We have a fabulous lunch being served by Loch Ness Castle Executive Chef Philippe on the shopping mall. Imagine that. Okay, it could be a first, but Barry and Catherine back at base camp, they have to work for their supper. We're going to have a bit of a Mr. and Mrs. competition during lunch, and we have fabulous prizes for them. I'm delighted to be joined by the General Manager of Loch Ness Castle, Sean Carney. Very good morning to you, Sean.
Good morning to you, Lee.
Tell us, just paint the picture for everybody that's listening at the minute. Tell us about our spread that we have laid out here in the shopping centre.
Well, later this afternoon, we'll have the five lucky couples coming in, and then the chef is taking a lot of time out this morning and the early afternoon from Valentine's Day. He's done a lot of prep for the hotel, but he's doing a three-course menu here at the hotel for those couples.
Wow, they're in for a special treat. We're looking forward to catching up with them a little bit later. And Loch Ness Castle, I was over during the week. That is just a beauty altogether. The only five-star hotel in Donegal.
Correct. Restored an old 17th century castle that local Donegal man, Pat Doherty, has restored to nearly its former glory, I suppose, and added a hotel to it. And we are where we are today as the only five-star hotel.
Funny, when I was in the hotel during the week, and there's a lovely book in the hotel where it kind of shows you through, you know, the old pictures of the hotel and the restoration that went over. There must have been some amount of work that went into that. How many years did it take to put it together?
I believe they started around the end of 2005, and we were open for the end of 2007. So it was a fairly hectic schedule, but, you know, up here in Donegal, the work ethic, you get started, you get it finished quickly.
Say for anybody that says, yeah, I always meant to call into Loch Ness Castle, what would you say to them?
Call in. We're there. We're open. And we just love to have people coming in. And we got a great local trade coming in from Donegal Town and Loch Ness, and even up here in Letterkenny.
It must be a magical place for weddings as well, I would say.
It is a fairy tale place. All castles are. And every lady that gets married, she's the princess for a day. And that's her castle. We do one wedding a day, and that's it.
The hospitality trade must just love Valentine's Day. I'm sure it's a busy day for you.
Oh, from a professional standpoint, it is, yes. It's one of the busiest days in the restaurant, restaurants. And if you don't make your reservation, you're not getting in, basically. So make the reservations well in advance, just as a future tip. But it is an extremely busy day. It's a lot of couples, emotionally charged, romantically charged, and the kitchen is well challenged.
Sean, I had a little chat off air, and you were in Alabama for a number of years. I think you said 15 or 16 years. And you said you used to pop into radio stations earlier on in the morning, and you used to bring buns and scones and all. Well, you didn't say scones, but he says pastries and that. Where's my pastries this morning?
Well, I'll go over here to the pastry behind us, which is McGettigan's. I'll give them a plug on air here, and I'll go over and get your pastry now.
Well, Sean, lovely chatting to you. I know you're a busy man. Sean Carney, General Manager, Loch Ness Castle. And thanks very much for working with us this afternoon. This is a real treat for everybody.
Well, Lee, thank you very much for having us, and a great partnership with the shopping centre and yourselves. So hopefully we'll have a great afternoon, and look forward to having a successful winner.
Yeah, well, thanks, Sean. I'll tell you, if you're listening, why don't you pop into the shopping centre? You're in for a really surprise. I got roses to give away. We're going to have our Mr. and Mrs. competition. You should see the setup here from Loch Ness Castle. We're in the Letterkenny Shopping Centre. Come down, have a bit of fun. And if there's no love in the air, Barry and Catherine should pop down here.
Lee, who can take part in this?
Well, you see, the draw has been open to the general public that have been shopping in Letterkenny Shopping Centre this last couple of weeks, and you just had to put your name into a big drum, and we did the draw earlier on the week, and we've selected our five couples. So they're going to be arriving around 12:30 today. We're going to have them seated for a three lunch course by Loch Ness Castle, and I'll have a chat to Philip and tell us what's on the menu. And there's a little bit of a Mr. and Mrs. competition. And Barry, as you're probably well aware, Mr. and Mrs. is to find out how much, or in some cases, how little you really know about your partner.
Yeah. So I was wondering if I could take part, because I forgot to get my girlfriend something for Valentine's Day, but Barry, obviously I can't.
Well, Barry, you are a cheapskate, man. Come on.
But we've got a chef coming up on the show now, Gary O'Hanlon, so he is going to give us some suggestions of maybe something I could cook.
You know, microwave.
Microwave. And that Michael Moran was texting me there, Lee. It's your birthday today. What age are you?
I am 42 today.
You don't look 42.
Well, thanks very much. I'm wearing a white jacket today. Michael Moran said to me, he says, Lee, you look more like a country singer. And I says, well, if Daniel Don can wear a white, nice white jacket, and Dickie Bow, I can do it too.
You've got your birthday suit on.
Yeah, I do. So you take a hand at me now and do some important stuff.
Right, Lee, good luck. We'll chat to you again. Bye. Lee Gidge down the shopping centre there. We'll be going back over to him later throughout the show. We're going to take a song now. Little Arse, they were on the show last week with Greg, the duo from Killybegs, an absolutely brilliant band making big waves across the country. They're nominated for the Meteor Choice Song of the Year, and what a great song it is.
Sometimes I can feel it. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I will need it. Sometimes I won't. But I could never tell you, tell you, tell you. It's the love, it's the sound.
You're welcome back to the weekend edition. On the show now, we've got Gary O'Hanlon. He's the head chef at Viewmont House. So you may know him from TV3's The Restaurant and The Late Lunch. Gary, you're going to be giving us some cooking tips for Valentine's Day. How's it going?
Yeah, good, Barry. Yeah, and yourself? I hope you have yourself all geared up for your own dinner tonight, do you?
Not really. I think I'll need some of these tips. I'll need some of these tips. I wouldn't be the greatest cook in the world, so any help I can get is great. I suppose, Gary, first of all, I suppose early in the morning, Valentine's morning, I suppose we're going to be talking, it's going to be the men doing the cooking. I hope there's not too many women cooking for their partners today.
Yeah, yeah. If there's a few girls cooking today, the boys will be in trouble, I think.
So, I suppose, first of all, breakfast. Suppose tips for a man, simple tips, something quick or no, something.
From my experience, by like going around the world and even in Viewmont House, whatever, it's the one thing you really, really find is pancakes are always top of the menu for ladies. You know what I mean? They absolutely love them. And I know my own wife, Annette, it's her favourite thing. It's getting on a wee bit in the day now. But I suppose if you've left your wife or partner sleeping, key thing is get into the kitchen after this and whip up some pancakes. I mean, generally what I do is nice, big and fluffy ones, you know. Some like them sort of thinner and more crepe-like. Loads of Nutella, lovely bit of maple syrup. If you really want to get into it, get some Jameson reduced down and some maple syrup in with that. Some mixed glazed berries and vanilla bean cream, and that's what I'm going to have to rock out for Annette now once I get off the phone to yourself, you know.
And I suppose...
I promised her.
If anybody wants to add anything to the pancakes, what's the most simple things or what's the easiest things?
Well, the nicest thing, I suppose, is basically if you make your basic mix and you pour it into the pan, have it slightly thicker if you're going to add anything to it. And whenever you pour it, get the pan hot, a lovely heavy base nonstick pan, a little bit of butter, let that melt, pour your pancake mix in. And once you get a feel that the base has started to thicken, you can drop in little bits of marshmallows and little bits of blueberries. And then you flip them over and you'll basically encase the marshmallow and the blueberry into the pancake and put it onto a low heat then, and then just sort of flip it once or twice. It'll be that wee bit thicker, takes a wee bit longer to cook. So once you've initially got it on there, got your stuff into it, you'll see the blueberries and marshmallows sinking into the pancake, and then flip them over and you'll have that lovely gooey center then whenever you cut into them, you know, really... something different, you know.
And can you add maybe something more simple, Nutella or ice cream or things like that?
Yeah, well, once they're ready, then just slide them onto the plate, dust them with icing sugar. Generally, what I do then is a little apple syrup or a maple syrup. Maple syrup is probably the favourite. You could leave it at that then. You could just put some grilled back bacon onto it. A lot of people like that, you know, the sweet and the savoury together. I'm not a huge fan of that myself, but it is quite popular. You could just slice some banana over that then again with the maple syrup or the honey. But generally, I suppose, the one I do is 2 or 3 big spoons of Nutella. I think the recommended daily allowance is 15 grams or whatever, but I kind of go overboard on that. 3 nice big scoops of Nutella. Whip up some cream, a little bit of fresh vanilla in there, vanilla bean, and berries with a little teaspoon of sugar just to take the bitterness out of them. At this time of year, they can be a wee bit bitter. And you're on to a winner, you know.
And is it time-consuming to cook the pancakes? Would it be something quick?
No, I suppose? Not at all. Well, I suppose for me, like, it's a wee bit unfair because everything just comes kind of naturally to me. And I'm a chef, and I'm faster and than most people. But look, a pancake recipe is one of the easiest things that you'll ever make. You know what I mean? If you just crack in 2 eggs, add maybe 4 or 5 tablespoons of sugar to that, whisk it up. You can add a wee pinch of salt if you like. It's not really necessary. If you're doing savoury, add a pinch of salt and no sugar. And then put in about a cup or so of flour and whisk that up into a paste. And then you just keep adding either buttermilk or regular whole milk and just whisk it until you get that consistency. If you're fond of milkshakes, if you have that sort of thick milkshake texture, that'll give you a thicker, fluffier pancake. And then you want to just go in between milk or heavy cream and a milkshake to get like a crepe-like, you know what I mean? You don't want it to be too thin, but you want to just coat the back of a spoon a wee bit thinner, and you just pour a little bit less into the pan if you want a crepe, and then you can roll them up, you know. But really, really simple. You're only looking at 3-4 ingredients max, and then whatever you feel like topping them with, you know.
Yeah, and we know Valentine's Day is becoming, well, more and more commercial, and some people we know currently just wouldn't have the money to go out and spend loads of money. So people might be looking to cook that meaningful meal today, a romantic meal. Like, what's tips or what ideas do you have for them?
Yeah, that's the key. I suppose, like, it can be, you know, even last night in Viewmount House, it's such a quiet night, because a lot of times you get people on first dates, there's not a way, a lot of chat going on. It's amazing how quiet, for such a busy restaurant, you'll find at Valentine's night. I suppose it's like the New Year's Eve and the St. Paddy's Day of the drinking culture. It's kind of changing, you know what I mean? Like, where a lot of people kind of avoid it. It's the same with people that frequent restaurants. It's generally people coming the first time. So, yeah, you know, I don't want to be turning people away from restaurants. It's my livelihood. But if you're skipping it and you're going out next week, you know, cook something meaningful. Don't be just listening to boys like me and Kelly talking about oysters and aphrodisiacs and this, that, and the other. If your partner or your girlfriend hates the sight of oysters, this, that, and the other, do not cook them. You know, you got to sort of listen between the lines, what they like, what's their favorite thing to eat, and just give it a wee bash. And look, even if you make a mess of it, I'm pretty sure, you know, most Irish girls are pretty accommodating, you know what I mean? Like, if you're making a wee effort in the kitchen for the first time, it's going to mean an awful lot. But again, make sure you're making something that at some point or another you can say, oh, I heard you talking about this, I heard it was one of your favorite things to eat. Don't be throwing up a big platter of Donegal oysters and crushed ice. As good as they are, they're not everyone's cup of tea, you know?
And what about someone like myself who wouldn't be the greatest cook in the world, who's looking to cook a meal for the girlfriend tonight? Like, I can cook a bit, but I'm no chef, yeah, like yourself.
Well, you know, I suppose for me, go with a wee simple prawn cocktail to kick off, like maybe an American style prawn cocktail. And by that I mean just changing the sauce. We're all familiar with the Mary Rose, like the mayonnaise, a little bit of ketchup, sherry, Tabasco and Worcester and whatnot. If you just go into maybe Aldi or any of the shops around, if you get some of those Claret prawns or King prawns, like that they're already cooked, and defrost them, get some Heinz ketchup, a little bit of horseradish sauce, about say 4 tablespoons of tomato ketchup, 2 teaspoons of horseradish sauce, a little bit of Tabasco, and you whisk that up. You're almost making like a horseradishy ketchup, and that is American style cocktail sauce. And even if you have nice little lettuce leaves with that, little crunchy icebergs or different things, basically just serve that. Even if you get some ice, crush it between the tea towel, use a little bit of little bread roller to crush it up, serve the prawns on a wee bowl of ice, and then you've got some lettuce there and a little dipping sauce. That's a lovely, lovely, elegant wee starter. And You're not even cooking. You're not even using heat with this one, Barry. So I'm pretty sure
even I can do that.
And for me, of course, a steak. Like women, men, it's universal. Like I find when I do demonstrations around the country, a lovely aged sirloin steak. I mean, I'm from Remelton. If anybody's listening from Remelton, go into Union Gormley, Lennonside Butcher. He's unbelievable. He's got some lovely meat. There's some great butchers around Letterkenny there as well. You know, go in. Get a nice sirloin steak, a little bit of salt on it, really, really hot pan, and just a lovely pan-fried steak. You know what I mean? And it's most people at this stage has given it a wee attempt.
Yeah.
You can jump online, YouTube. There's loads of wee things there. If you're a complete novice, you'll find something, you know?
What about cooking a fillet steak? Is that hard to cook? I know anytime I've got a fillet steak, it's special occasions if you're out in the restaurant. I've never actually attempted to cook one myself. But
funny enough, chefs, like I don't look at fillet steak as great, you know what I mean? Because for me, even a bad chef can cook a good fillet steak because it is so tender. And, you know, the only thing that you'll find with a fillet steak is if you're cooking a full, say, 8 or 10 ounce piece, is it's quite dense, Barry, you know? So you're definitely going to have to use a frying pan as well as an oven for that. So the key thing with a fillet steak, if it's about, say, 8 ounces, key thing is absolutely season first. You got to build flavors. You got to season. You know what I mean? So get a nice little bit of fine sea salt around the edges. Have the pan smoking hot, nice and dry, no oil. Put it in there. Get it seared all the way around, like sear each side, and then you sort of got to roll it on its side. Key thing is you get a nice little browning all over it. Have your oven preheated at 180 degrees and then just set it inside and just let it roast then for about 10 to 12 minutes. If you want it anything more than medium, then give it another 5 or 6 minutes if you want medium well or well done. And then just let it, take it out, let it sit on the chopping board for about a minute and a half, cover it with a little bit of tin foil just to let it rest so that when you cut into it, the blood isn't going to spurt all over the plate or the juices aren't going to run. You just let it set and then cut away. But you're always guaranteed tenderness with a fillet, you know.
Yeah. And what about people who are cooking tonight? Should they avoid smelly foods because given the day it is? Or
yeah. Well, you know, if you're looking to get up close and personal after dinner, Barry, I would say avoid the Dauphinese potatoes or the Dauphinois or the garlic potatoes. Look, garlic is one of these myths in cooking. It's used in an awful lot of flavor builders, you know what I mean? Like if you're making a tomato sauce or mini sauce with Provençal and so on, there's crushed garlic or shallots to a point in there. You're never really going to taste it because it's cooked all the way through. If you're making an aioli or a little homemade mayonnaise and you want a little garlic content in there, that's what you want to be avoiding, is like a garlic mushroom type thing where the garlic maybe isn't roasted or cooked. And it's when garlic is in its raw form that's whenever you're going to get that after smell or a smelly breath or what have you. So avoid the garlic potatoes tonight. Make a nice wee croquette or just make a lovely mashed potato. Who doesn't love a nice buttery mashed potato? And avoid the fancy stuff tonight when it comes to that, you know.
And I suppose a lot of people do. One of the main things that we're looking forward to, or I know my girlfriend would be looking forward to this the most, is probably dessert.
Yeah. If all else fails, Barry, with a prawn cocktail and your steak and everything else goes sideways for you, make sure you've got a nice chocolate dessert to hand. I mean, chocolate is your game saver all the time, you know what I mean? Again, there's a few things that I'll use in View Mount House. It could be honeycomb, chocolate, or meringue. If any one of those three components are in a dessert, you're guaranteed that it's going to be a good seller in Ireland in particular, you know. So, you know, go into the store, if you're not that handy, get yourself a nice wee chocolate fondant that you can put maybe in the microwave or the oven for about, you know, a minute or two or thereabouts. It just sort of heats it up a wee bit, or a brownie. Get a nice vanilla bean, a nice high quality ice cream in. Or again, if you want to chance it, there's tons of recipes online. You can go here or there and get a couple, you know. But if all else fails, you just want to have something handy, get some strawberries in, make sure there's ice cream in, get a nice chocolate dessert, and just basically put it all together and you're on to a winner, you know. But definitely have something.
So no excuse now to go buy one of those giant Toblerone bars.
Yeah, well, you could go look at it. Go find some nice chocolate truffles. That's another thing, you know. If you just had, you know, a little fruit tartlet or something different, you know, that's another way of doing it. Is get some nice sweets, you know, some lovely chocolate truffles. Maybe a wee bottle of creme de menthe, some chocolate truffles, and some creme de menthe over crushed ice. It's a little after-dinner drink. Absolutely beautiful.
And suppose anybody who, as we were saying, looking to cook, I mean, they should be planning ahead throughout today as well, shouldn't they?
Yeah. The last thing you want to do, like, is have your girlfriend coming over tonight, Barry, and she's sitting twiddling her thumbs watching TV while you're banging pots and running around the place and not knowing whether you're coming or going, you know. So, yeah, get stuck in early doors, you know. I mean, a good wee thing to do with that is have a wee pot, one pot wonder, you know. Like, even if you were to do, like, a wee tiny lamb shank, or, like, this time of year, some winter lamb, some nice wee lamb shank, or a cock au vin, which sounds fancier than what it is, you know. It's a little one-pot wonder. You get it in low and slow at about 120 degrees. You'll find recipes online. Get them in around lunchtime, 2, 3 o'clock even, and let them stew nice and slow in a low oven. You just get your wee prawns that we talked about. You have your starter that you can assemble basically from the fridge in seconds. Your dessert's already sitting in there. You're sitting down. You're together. You're having a wee glass of bubbles and then a wee glass of wine. And that's an early thing to do, you know what I mean? Think of something different, you know what I mean? Have some bubbles on arrival when your girlfriend comes over, and then have a nice bottle of red if you're doing, say, a wee lamb shank, you know what I mean? So you're kind of showing a little sophistication there and you're changing it up, and then maybe a wee tiny quarter bottle of dessert wine that you'll find down at the counter there. There's loads of lovely wine shops around that are Kenny that'll be able to hook you up, you know?
Okay, Gary, good man. I think we've got loads of tips there for our listeners.
You can't go wrong tonight, Barry.
I have no excuses. And just yourself, you're coming to Letterkenny next week?
Yeah. I was hoping to be up with my good old friend from the Interface, Manus Kelly's launching his new shop today, the Uptown Cafe. So obviously, with it being such a crazy day, I'm already at Viewman's house here getting ready for dinner tonight. So I'm going to pop in on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. We're going to have a wee Q&A session about my stint that just finished there on the restaurant, the current series just finished. And I might even rock out those pancakes that I was talking about at the start of the programme there.
All right. Cheers, Gary. Thanks for joining us.